I sincerely welcome everyone who has so sincerely come to attend this auspicious ceremony on this very auspicious day of Lord Sri Ramchandra's divine appearance in this world. Srila Prabhupada would begin each ceremony of taking vows with this prayer from the Vedic literatures. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gato piva yasmaret pundarikaksam sabhayabhyantara suchi. The singular purpose that Krishna, the supreme creator of all creators, had given human life is for the purpose of spiritual purification. This human body is especially designed by the Lord as a vehicle to carry the conditioned soul across the vast desert of material existence to our original home in the spiritual world. The fundamental principle of spirituality is to understand that we are the eternal soul, the eternal servant of Lord Sri Krishna. It is a shameful embarrassment for the soul, which is Satchit Ananda, to be trying to enjoy the temporary pleasures of this world of death. But since time that cannot be traced back, we have become conditioned to the addiction of material enjoyment. The problems that occur due to this unnatural condition of life are unlimited. Therefore, Krishna says, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Do not try to enjoy in this world where everything is temporary, because it is the cause of misery. The nature of consciousness is to be in the bliss of loving service to Lord Krishna. After passing through millions of species of life, chewing the material enjoyments and sufferings that we have chewed, birth after birth after birth, we are awarded this human form. Qualitatively, human life begins when we are willing to perform the austerity of purifying our heart in Krishna consciousness. The acharyas in the scriptures tell that a human being that does not use one's life for this purpose is qualitatively of the consciousness of a sophisticated two-legged animal. In this age of Kali, it is very rare to even find a single human being who is sincerely trying to utilize this great opportunity that they have been given. Lord Chaitanya explains that to Rupa Goswami, that there are various systems of spirituality: Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Astanga Kanda. But none of these realizations can bring real happiness to the heart. Neither elevation to the heavens, liberation, or possession of all mystic powers can bring satisfaction to the soul. In all of these conditions, we are like the fish separated from the water, trying to find happiness. It is only through bhakti, through pure love and devotion, that one is in one's natural state and can achieve real peace. Lord Chaitanya taught Sri Rupa Goswami and the world through him that after wandering through many millions of births in various places throughout the unlimited universes, when one is most fortunate by the mercy of Krishna, one comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. The spiritual master plants the seed of bhakti within the heart. This means that by his mercy, our original nature, in a very immature seed-like form, begins to awaken. And he teaches us the process of watering that seed and protecting it. We protect our devotional service by following the four regulative principles, by guarding against the 10 offenses to the holy names, and by being very, very careful to have proper behavior in our life. We water that seed by hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the Lord's holy names in the association of sincere devotees who are earnestly seeking pure devotional service. That seed of devotion gradually develops into a small creeper. That creeper develops by the mercy of Guru and Krishna in such a way that it pierces through the coverings of material existence into the spiritual sky, extending to the eternal abode of the Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. It produces the sweet ripened fruit of prema bhakti, which is offered at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath. Tasting the sweet nectar of that fruit, Krishna is satisfied and shares that fruit with his devotee and brings us unlimited happiness. Lord Chaitanya taught that even though the gardener of that bhakti lata beach may be in this world, sitting in the city of Bombay, still the fruit of his love of God is being offered at the feet of the Lord in the spiritual world. There is no goal of life to pursue that is of any substance except this. By the power of Maya, she cheats us, deceiving us to think that something else is worthy of being a priority in our life. But Rupa Goswami tells us that a real sincere devotee is one who is very careful not to waste even a single moment, because each moment is so precious. We do not know how many we have before death appears before us. Srila Prabhupada would tell that a devotee who is honest and sincere lives each day with the type of sincerity as if it was the last day of his or her life. Factually, it may be. Krishna consciousness is not a fashion. It is an urgent need. We should approach initiation in this spirit. To the extent we have this urgent, serious approach to taking our vows, to that degree our initiation is meaningful. No one should take initiation simply as a fashion or to be socially respected or to gain some prestige. We are coming before Guru Krishna, the sacred fire and the Vaishnavas, to take vows of surrender. We are coming for initiation with the willingness to follow the instructions of Guru Parampara for the rest of our lives, for the purpose of purifying our hearts and awakening pure love of God and sharing that love with the world. Our constitutional position is that we are servants. We take initiation with a vow of willingness to serve in such a way that Krishna, Guru, and the Vaishnavas are pleased with our efforts. The scriptures tell us the great need of accepting spiritual master. Tad vigyanartham sa gurum eva avigachate. The Vedas cannot be understood in truth without Guru. Tad vidhi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya. Upateksanti te jnanam jnaninastatpatarashana. If you want to know the truth, Bhagavad Gita tells, you must approach Guru. But what does it mean to approach Guru? To inquire submissively, with an eagerness to carry out those instructions through our service. Evam parampara praptam. But that Guru must be speaking the eternal truth as it has been protected since the beginning of time through parampara, the disciplic succession. Today is Ram Nomi. Lord Sri Ramchandra, although Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord with all opulences, he appeared to teach the world. There is so much to be said, but so much to be done today that we do not have much time. It is very interesting. I came to the Krishna Consciousness Movement thinking I could live a very simple life, just chant Hare Krishna, milk some cows, serve the deities, and be happy. That was my thought. But then we take the vows of obedience to serve Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, and he gives us types of service that we could have never imagined. But anyways, that is another subject we can discuss. Ramchandra, how he lived to protect and preserve the integrity of his father's name. People say, people like to, Braj Bihari Prabhu gave a very wonderful class yesterday. He explained how so expertly people interpret the scriptures according to their particular aspirations in life. Some people say that Ram went to the forest just to show the world how one must be absolutely obedient to one's father. That is true. But there's another part of the story. What kind of father was Dasarath Maharaj? We want our sons to be like Ram, but we don't want to be like Dasarath. Every husband wants his wife to be a perfectly chaste, obedient Sita, but he has no inclination to become like Ram. According to the scriptures, Pitana Sasyaj Janina Sasyaj. One has no right to even become a father or a mother unless one is going to guide one's child on the path of pure liberation, where he never takes birth again in this world. So let us examine Dasarath Maharaj. He was the king of Ayodhya. His reign expanded in all directions. When Vishwamitra Muni came to his home, Dasarath got off the throne and put the sage atop of it. He washed his feet and with folded palms offered, "I am your servant. anything you order, I will do. Now, many people go through the show of saying those things, but who is willing to actually do it? Lord Ramchandra, Vishwamitra Muni said, I want your son, Rama, to come with me into the jungles. There was nothing more difficult that he could have asked Dasarath Maharaj to do. If he asked him to give up his life, that would have been an easy thing compared to giving Lord Ram. He loved Ram more than his life itself. Out of his natural affection for his son, he tried to negotiate. He said, you want my son to go to the forest to kill demons? I will go. I'll give you all my armies. I'll give you my wealth, my kingdom, my everything, but don't take Ram, please. Vishwamitra Muni became externally angry. You promised me anything? I want Ram. In other words, he told him to totally surrender more than his life. And being a genuine great soul, he renounced what was more dear than his own life force to serve this great spiritual master. So that is what type of father Dasarath was. Such a father becomes spiritual master. It is the duty of mother and father to be representative of spiritual master, to teach the child in such a way. When Sri Ram and Lakshman were traveling for the forest with Vishwamitra Muni, Lord Ram served his guru with such humility and sincerity to show the world. Although Ramchandra is the supreme knower of everything, past, present, and future, he's the author of all the scriptures, still he inquired as if he knew nothing from his guru. When they came to the river Ganga, they sat on the bank, and Ramchandra, with folded palms, after serving his guru with so many simple services, he asked, can you tell me the history of Mother Ganga? Ganga Devi is coming from his feet. He's the origin of Ganga. But he's asking, please tell me. After inquiring submissively, he sat hour after hour after hour in rapt attention, hearing his Guru Maharaj speak. Vishwamitra Muni was teaching him the scriptures on so many practical and spiritual and philosophical levels. Vishwamitra Muni even gave him astras, which would help him to defend himself against the forces of evil, because he was so pleased with his service. Lord Ram would collect wood for his guru. He would collect roots and herbs to serve him. He washed his clothing. He massaged his guru's feet and legs. He fanned him with a fan of leaves and was eager to carry out any order he was given, just to teach the world. And even when they came to Mithila, when his eternal beloved consort Sita was standing before him, he was asked to approach the mighty bow of Lord Shiva, to string it, to win the hand of Sita. Ram did not approach the bow. He approached his guru, touched his guru's feet, with folded palms asked his guru, what is your instruction? When he was given the order and the blessings, then he went to string the bow and win the hand of Sita. This is what a disciple is to do. And when his father was deceived by Kaikeyi, Ram was willing to enter into the Dandakaranya forest for for 14 years, living in tree bark with matted hair, just to protect the good name of his father.
Just
to protect the sanctity of the image of the Raghu dynasty in the eyes of the world. Srila Prabhupada explains in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the duty of a disciple is to live in such a way to always glorify and protect the good name of Guru and the Parampara. Any type of misbehavior of a disciple is a blemish, a dark spot on the image of Guru and our disciplic dynasty, the Parampara. If we speak inappropriately or act offensively, the world will see that as a defect in the spiritual master and the disciplic succession. This is the responsibility of disciple. We should be willing to accept any type of inconvenience, difficulty, or austerity to protect and preserve the good name of Guru and Krishna. Because the world depends on it. Lord Chaitanya said, I have so many fruits of love of God, I cannot distribute them all myself. He asked all of his followers to assist him in flooding the world with the fruits of love of Krishna. But people will only accept the fruits of love of God from us if they trust us. Our beloved spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he began his mission single-handed. The entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness was within a tiny storefront in the Lower East Side of New York, about one-fifth the size of this temple room. Maybe one-tenth. And there was only one preacher, and that was Srila Prabhupada himself. But his integrity, his compassion, his knowledge transformed people's hearts. He was willing to sacrifice his life despite heart attacks, poverty, blasphemy, just to share these fruits of love of God with the world. And because he was willing to do so much for his devotees, they wanted to assist him. Those devotees gave their lives. They gave up their homes, their comforts, every type of enjoyment that they ever knew in their life. They gave it all up to serve him. They became empowered. Just by seeing them, by hearing from them, people gained complete faith in Srila Prabhupada and were willing to surrender their lives to him. By 1972-73, when Srila Prabhupada would come to an airport of a city, there would be hundreds of people waiting for him. Each one was following the regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, and surrendering their lives wholesale to glorify Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada came out of the airplane, 95 to 99% of all those devotees saw him for the first time in their lives. Just by associating with his devotees and reading his books, these people had complete faith and surrendered their lives to him. That is the power of being a good example. Because these devotees were so pure in their enthusiasm and in their life, people had complete faith in their guru. And the result is that all these people were being delivered from the cycle of birth and death. Please understand that the vows of initiation are very serious. The most serious thing you will ever do in your entire life. But you will only benefit and give other people benefit to the degree we take these vows very, very seriously. We should not think that when we're initiated, we have achieved the goal. Prabhupada told initiation means the beginning. We're really formally beginning our efforts to attain the goal. It's not that we are very obedient and we're very, very strict in all of our principles so that we can become initiated. We are strict to qualify ourselves. But after we take the vows, then we are responsible to live according to those principles through our lives. Do not expect any external miracles. Pure bhakti is not cheap. It is an inconceivable miracle that we have even come before Krishna by the mercy of the Lord and His devotees. But to realize the great treasure that we have received, we must very seriously dedicate ourselves to the rules and regulations of devotional service. The platform of raganuga, or spontaneous love, comes when we're actually purified and have a spontaneous taste for bhakti. But factually, within our Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Shakti, the mercy of Raganuga, is within the rules and regulations we follow in pleasing Guru and Krishna. Everything is there in what Srila Prabhupada taught us. But we must be sincere. We must develop a genuine service attitude. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant is the characteristic consciousness of a real devotee. The desire for wealth, position, and bodily pleasures is simply a disturbance to real bhakti. Desire for position, for control, for distinction, or for material facilities are like weeds that grow. And many persons think that that weed is the seed of devotion and they water it very carefully. We should tear out those weeds from their roots and not give them a drop of water of attention. All we want is service for all of eternity. In order to purify our hearts, to attain that goal, the great spiritual masters have given us the holy name of Krishna. The name of Krishna, which is none different than Krishna himself, is empowered with all of his glory. As we chant the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, our heart is cleansed and our natural attraction for Krishna becomes a reality. We must very strictly and attentively serve the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us the only way it's possible. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. We will develop that love for Krishna in his name when we are humble like the grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. That is our aspiration. Let us shed our desires for the superficialities in the world and strive to achieve that state of real humility where we can constantly chant Krishna's names. And we will accept whatever is favorable to helping us attain that faith and reject whatever is a disturbance to that. This is the gift that Lord Chaitanya gave the world. Let us receive it wholeheartedly and share it with others. It is our duty. Today I am so very happy to see so many very sincere, bright-faced devotees coming to give their lives to Srila Prabhupada's mission. ISKCON is his life's offering to his Guru Maharaj, to the Parampara, and ultimately to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. It is he who has directly or indirectly rescued our lives. It was his sacrifice that made it possible for all of us to enter into the threshold of pure love of God. So we are indebted. We want to assist him in his great mission. And for that purpose, we must do whatever is favorable to pleasing his Srila Prabhupada by making his mission a strong force to deliver the holy name to the unfortunate suffering souls of this world. We are all together at the shelter of his lotus feet. Of Srila Prabhupada's many followers, there are many who have taken the responsibility of initiating disciples. And the disciples of those disciples should understand that we are all one family in the service of Srila Prabhupada. There should be unity and respect. I am expecting all of you to honor and respect all senior devotees, all of our God brothers and God sisters, with great attention. To respect and to nourish the faith of disciples and other gurus in their guru. There should be no ego. There should be no neophyte mentality that I'm better than you. Why? Because my guru is better than yours. We should be the servant of the servant of the servant of the faith of every devotee. That will please Prabhupada and those that will please the true followers of Srila Prabhupada. I am expecting each and every one of you to be shining examples in how you perform your sadhana. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names, and associating with devotees in the mission of the Lord. And we are expecting all of you to be exemplary in what you speak and in all of your actions. You may not be perfect, but if you strive to act perfectly, Krishna takes your desire seriously and gives you all perfections. Let us do nothing that will disgrace the good name of Guru Parampara. Let the world see the glories of what we represent by our behavior. And that means to be humble, forgiving, tolerant, patient, simple and honest, and eager to serve. It means we have to be willing to control our mind and our senses to live by these principles. That is the definition of a disciple. Not throwing some seeds in the fire. I do not even know if any of you can throw so far to reach the fire. But Vishnu appears as the fire, and he sees your intention of throwing. He will accept that intention, even if the seeds don't quite make it. This should be our intention when we come for initiation. To be real disciples. To live by these principles. Today and throughout our lives. We are taking vows to follow the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. These prohibitions, when followed, bring us to the point where we're approaching the mode of goodness as human beings. And from that platform, when we chant the names of the Lord, we can transcend the modes. But we must guard against the 10 offenses. Everyone, please, together, recite the 10 offenses to the holy names.
First, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their life for propagating the holy name of the Lord. Second, to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Third, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Fourth, to blaspheme the Vedic scriptures or scriptures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Fifth, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be an imagination. Sixth, to give some interpretation to the holy name of the Lord. Seventh, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Eighth, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karma kanda. Ninth, to instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Tenth, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Every devotee who claims to be Vaishnava must guard against his offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success, Krishna Prema.
Thank you very much. All of you are like a very large, wonderful Rajbhog offering. Our temple room has become like a very big plate of bhoga. And each of you is a very special, sweet preparation. Some may be salty preparations also. But this Rajbhog offering of all of you is about to be offered for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Gornitai, Sri Radha Gopinath, and Sri Hanuman, Lakshman, Sita, and Ram on this day of Ram Nomi. I think that this is the most glorious bhoga offering we have ever offered to Prabhupada and the deities on Ram Nomi. And after the fire yajna, you will all become Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam. And I will be a very happy pujari. But Mahaprasad is meant to purify the world. I thank you very much.